prominent forces, involved in many of the key conflicts of the era against Russia, Ukraine, Sweden, and the Ottoman Empire, the Commonwealth was a pillar of European geopolitics. Yet it gradually lost territory and clout during the 18th century, finally being portioned in 1795 by Prussia, the kingdom based in Berlin, and which would be the cornerstone of a unified Germany in the 19th century, Austria and Russia. Lithuania itself had gradually lost sway within the Commonwealth as it found itself Polonized. A class divide developed between the richer and more educated Poles and the agricultural Lithuanians. Although both Prussia and Austria took some Lithuanian territory in the annexations of 1795, the majority of the territory came under Russian control. Tsarist Russia at the turn of the 19th century had an insatiable appetite for new land and power. The by now much diminished Lithuania was a minnow against the rapidly growing Russian Empire. The Tsarist regime was deeply authoritarian, brokering little dissent, and clumsily attempting to exert its will over the peoples whose land it occupied. During the 19th century, this heavy-handedness managed to fuel the burgeoning flames of Lithuanian nationalism. This was the era of cultural nationalism, and Lithuanians had plenty of history to fall back on without needing to create national myths, as many nations seemed to do during the century. The approach of Lithuanian nationalists, however, was unique and took a particular turn. The prime focus of its nationalism was the revival of the Lithuanian language, which had been suppressed even during the Commonwealth era. This would mean breaking from a joint Polish-Lithuanian history that may have developed from 1569 to 1795. This was not always easy. Perhaps the best-known figure in the 19th century Lithuanian nationalism was the poet Adam Mickiewicz, who managed to be a key figure in Lithuania, Poland, and Belarus. Lithuanians agitated for greater recognition of culture and linguistic rights during the century. There were two major revolts in 1831 and 1863, which were suppressed by the Russians, who sought to stifle both the Lithuanian language and the Catholic religion. Following the revolts, more serious attempts at Russification by the occupiers took place. Meanwhile, Lithuanian nationalists, some of whom had wanted to revive the joint Commonwealth at the beginning of the 19th century, had, by the end of the century, taken a far more independent Lithuania stance. In practice, this meant nationalists would focus on a much smaller area than the historic Grand Duchy of Lithuania, or Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, abandoning any claims on Polish, Ukrainian, and Belarusian territory. At the turn of the 20th century, Lithuania had been ruled by Russia for over 100 years. In geopolitical terms, the 19th century, particularly after the Napoleonic Wars, had been relatively stable, sometimes known as the Concert of Vienna. After the city where the post-Napoleonic Wars peace settlement was negotiated, Europe's great powers had few wars in the following decades, with exceptions, including the 1853-56 Crimean War and 1870-71 Franco-Prussian War. Yet all was not well with great power relations in the first decade of the 20th century. The likes of Russia and Germany were eager to expand their respective territories, while Britain and France were more defensive, seeking to hold on to the huge empires they had amassed. The Ottoman and Austria-Hungary Habsburg empires were weakened, creating rivalries to annex land from their peripheries. Meanwhile, populations in occupied and colonized parts of these huge empires were agitating for change, greater recognition, and even independence. Lithuania fell very much in these latter categories, with many of its people unhappy with a century of Russian rule. With the hindsight of history, however, the Russian Empire at the turn of the 20th century was fragile. A popular revolution in 1905, when peasants and workers stormed the Tsar's Winter Palace, as well as a defeat in a war against the Japanese, rattled the ruling Romanov dynasty sufficiently to offer some proto-democratic reforms, or at least greater power to the Russian parliament, the Duma.